Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
The word of the Lord today is hearing the voice of God. I don't know about y'all, but I want to hear the voice of God more clearly in my life. I've come to this place in my life where I've heard from the Lord in the past and I've done things, but man, just every day I just wake up with this realization like, God, I need to hear your voice today. Like, Jesus, I'm dead in the water without you. Like, I just need to hear his voice more clearly. Like, I don't want to spend another day just doing my own thing. I want to spend every day like, okay, you want me to go over here? I'm going to go here today. Like, I want to hear the voice of God more clearly. And this is my prayer for you guys today, is that you would hear the voice of God more clearly than you ever have before. But it doesn't just happen because we are like, well, I want to hear God's voice more clearly today. Like, there's things that we have to do to position ourselves to hear God's voice more clearly. That's the most amazing thing in this process of hearing God, is that a lot of it is up to us. It's up to us and what we do. So I want to look at this idea today of hearing God more clearly. And, you know, sometimes God speaks to us in different ways. I've never heard God speak audibly with my ears. I don't know. Some people have. I know people have, but I personally have never heard God speaking that way before. And in Scripture, he speaks all different kinds of ways. In the Old Testament, he spoke to Moses, it says, in the peals of thunder. And sometimes he speaks in that, just that impression inside. And you're like, wait a minute, something's going on. Sometimes he speaks to you in your spirit and you know God is speaking. You can hear him on the inside. You don't hear him outside, but you hear his voice speaking inside. God speaks all different ways. And even in Scripture, we see God speaking in different ways to different people. And so we need to understand that God is a speaking God. I'm going to come over here. God is a speaking God. Amen. We need to understand that before we can hear him more clearly. We need to know, like, he is speaking to us. He's speaking to us daily. He's with us. We need to understand he's a speaking God. He's not a distant, far off God who just wants to, you know, give us a rule set to follow and be gone. No, he is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He is speaking to us. He wants personal relationship with us. See, but the thing with relationship is this is a two-way communication process. It's real hard to have relationship if there's no communication because you don't know anything about the person. My wife, Heather, she's serving in Victory Kids today, but if I never talk to her, like, it's going to be real hard to have a good marriage, right? If there's no communication. Same thing is said. If all the communication happens for me and I'm just talking to her and then I leave, that's the same problem, because that's not communication. That's me telling. But see, God is looking for a relationship. He's looking for me talking to him and then me being quiet and listening to him. Like, it's a two-way street. This is the relationship. He's not looking for just rule followers. There are things that he asks us to do. And yes, we need to do those things. But he's looking for so much more than just do what I said. He's looking for relationship. And when we have relationship, like, doing what he said is no problem because we love him. Right? So God wants relationship. And Jesus described this relationship with us and him in this sense of sheep and shepherds. And I don't know if that hits home with anybody, but it didn't with me. I'm like, sheep and shepherds. Well, I've never been a shepherd. I've never sheared anything. I've never been a sheep. I can baa with the best of them, you know, baa. I don't know anybody else, but I don't understand the shepherd sheep mentality. So Jesus describes it this way in John chapter 10, verse 3-5. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. See, he's describing this relationship that he wants us to have with him. You know, we hear his voice and then he calls us by name. And God is calling you by name. He's calling you by name. And he says, when he's brought all out of his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never go with a stranger. In fact, they will run away from the stranger because they don't recognize his voice. That's pretty amazing. But it's a little bit of a struggle, if I'm being honest, because, like, okay, sheep, and that's great. So a shepherd comes and he says, sheep, come on, and they come. But I began to think about this. So I did some reading on what it was to like to be a shepherd around Jesus' time. And so if I would for a moment, I want to tell you a little bit about that. So if a guy owns some sheep, about a, say for our example, we'll own 1,000 sheep. It's a lot of sheep. It's a lot of baying, right? So he would hire some shepherds. So I have 1,000 sheep. I'm going to hire 10 shepherds. And each shepherd is assigned 100 sheep. These are his 100 sheep. And he's to take care of them. He's with them all the time. He takes them into the pastures. He takes them into the hills. He protects them. He keeps them safe. He talks to them. He is the shepherd of them. He doesn't go one day to this 100 and then another day to this 100. No, he's with this 100 all the time. These are his 100. He knows them. Those are his 100 sheep. Okay? So at nighttime, all my 10 shepherds bring their 100 sheep and they bring them into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was this vast area of land, and they would build up a wall or a fence around it. And there was one place to enter and one place to exit. So all the shepherds bring their sheep in. All the sheep go into the sheepfold. Now all my 1,000 sheep are back together, right? They spend the night in there. Interesting thing is that this entry point doesn't have a door or a gate. It's just open. So one shepherd would stay there and actually physically, his body would be the door, would be the gate. He would spend the night there and protect it, not let anybody in that wasn't supposed to be in. He was the gate. And all the other 9 shepherds would go in and they'd stay at the Marriott until they're ready to come back in the morning and come back. There wasn't a Marriott back then, but it's more fun to add in funny things. So when the shepherds came back in the morning, he would, as he recognized each shepherd, oh, this is one of my shepherds, they would come in and they would call their sheep and they would leave with their sheep. Now, that's great, but think about this. There's 1,000 sheep all mixed together. My job as a shepherd is to get my 100 out. Do you see the problem here? That's a problem. Like, how am I going to get my 100 sheep out? There's 9 other guys waiting to get theirs. The amazing thing is that because the shepherd spent so much time with his sheep, he was teaching them his voice and speaking to them all the time and teaching them his call. He had a call that he would have with his sheep so that when he came to the gate of the sheepfold and he called, he made his call, his 100 sheep would come. And none of the others would even stop grazing because they didn't know that call, so they didn't know what to do. They just heard the call of their shepherd and they came and he led them out. Isn't that amazing? And this is the illustration that Jesus is giving us for our relationship with God. Like, amidst everything else going on, amidst this world that we're part of and people all around and things happening, like God is speaking to us. And if we train ourselves to hear his voice and his call, like we won't even hear those other things because we are focused on the call of Jesus. We hear his voice, but there's some things we have to do in that, like we have to be good sheep and learn to hear his voice. And that is what we want to look at today, is that God is speaking to us. Scripture, the very last book of the Bible says, him with ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God is speaking. Even the first word of the third verse of the Bible says, and God said, God said, God spoke. God is a speaking God. He's speaking to us today, even in this place right now, God is speaking. I know in my own life, there's been times where I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I have heard the voice of God speaking to me. There was one example was when I was a senior in high school. It's not that long ago, a little long ago. It was a while ago, okay. But I was a senior in high school, and I grew up there in Tulsa going to Victory, and directly across the street was Oral Roberts University, great university. And my mom was going to school there, getting her master's when I was growing up, so I spent a lot of time on the campus. I knew all the buildings. I knew how to get around all of them. I knew all the professors. I know that place. And I just, honestly, I did not want to go there. But my mom went there. My dad went there. And it was just like, my mom really wanted me to go there. And I was like, I want to get away. I just had decided to myself, I have a better plan. So I made a deal with my mom. If she would take me to Nashville and let me tour these other 2 schools I wanted to go to, that I would go and I would do an actual tour of ORU, even though I could lead the tour, that I would just go and be a part of it. And so she made the deal. She took me to Nashville. And I get to this first school, and I step onto the campus. And this is a Christian school there, too, so it wasn't like a bad place. Like, I step on the campus, and I walk into the courtyard, and I'm all set to start my journey into the music business. And I felt the voice of the Lord speak to me very clearly and said, you're not supposed to be here. And if you come here, your life will go in a direction that you don't want it to go in. I don't want you to go this direction. And honestly, I wish I could tell you that I backed out of the tour right there as a good spiritual person, but I didn't. I continued down this path, and I loved the school. And then I even went to this other school. Same thing. I knew as soon as I got there, I'm not supposed to be here. But I continued down this road. And y'all, it was not like it was a bad situation. I had full rides to both of them. Everything paid for, books, everything paid for. Like, it was a good deal. So I completed my commitment to my mom, and I went on the tour at ORU, and I didn't have everything paid for there. Like, I had to work for that. And I can take you to the spot in the parking lot where I was walking. I left the evening service, and I was walking across the parking lot, and I very clearly heard the voice of the Lord say to me, "Is like, this is where you're supposed to be. I've called you. You need to be here." And I'm so thankful that I was willing to be obedient to what the Spirit of God was saying, because had I not, I wouldn't be here with you today. My life would have gone the wrong direction. But God is speaking to us in different ways. We just have to be listening and ready to hear Him and be in the right environment to hear what God is saying. So as I began to think about this idea of how we can hear God more clearly, I came up with these different things that I want to point out today. And I like to name things, okay? I like to name things. You need to know this about me. I like to name things. I name my cars. I know. I name my guitars. I name my children. You know, I name things. And some of you will get that in the car later. It's all right. So I named this section with a little throwback, if you don't mind. I called this section Weapons of Mass Distraction, WMD, okay? Weapons of Mass Distraction. And I came up with this, you can tell this week I was overcoming some head congestion stuff, and I was trying every home remedy I could have. I mean, anything, I was trying it, and that's when I came up with this throwback to Weapons of Mass Distraction. So, number one, if you're taking notes on the back of your worship guide, there's a spot for you to take notes. I want you to write these things down today. The first weapon of mass distraction is busyness. Because did you know the devil doesn't want you to hear what God is saying? So he's going to use these different weapons of distraction to keep you from hearing God more clearly. Busyness. It's real hard to have a relationship and communicate with someone when you're just consumed with busyness. Right? Because busyness just keeps you going. And it's so chronic in our society. Busyness. Like business. We're supposed to be going to this and going to that and going to this. And there's never just a moment just to like stop and like... Right? But doesn't scripture say in Psalms 46, be still and know that I am God? Like sometimes we have to just be still before Him. And just know that He is God. Like we want to hear God more clearly. We're going to have to slow down a bit. Jesus told this, was traveling and He went to the house of Mary and Martha. We read this in Luke chapter 19. Verses 39 and 40, and it says, and she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet, and she was listening to His teaching. See, there was lots of stuff going on in the house. There was guests and visitors, and I'm sure they had to sweep the floor, prepare food, all kinds of stuff that had to be done, but Mary sat herself at the Lord's feet, and she was listening to His teaching. Man, there's plenty of stuff to do, but Martha was overly occupied and too busy. She was distracted with everything going on. Man, too many times in our lives, we have this picture of Martha where we're overly occupied. We've just got too much going on. We're just distracted by everything of life to hear what God is saying, because when we're out in the grocery store, God is still speaking to us. It's not like your cell phone where you lose bars of service when you're inside the building. Like, God's signal still comes through. Like, when we're overly distracted and busy, like we can miss what God is saying. So sometimes we have to slow down. But I've seen people take it too far, the extreme, and be like, well, I'm just not going to do anything. You guys laugh, but it's true, right? See, there's balance. God wants us to have balance. He wants us to have this time where we take to be still with Him. But then He has a job and assignments for us to do. And then we go and do them. Right? But it's hard to go and do them on our own strength. That's why we need the stillness so we can get the strength, so we can get his vision, so we can hear what he wants to say to us. Now we're ready to go and do. There's balance of the stillness and there's balance of the doing. But it's when that busyness takes over that it becomes a problem. So if the more you quiet yourself, the more clearer and clearer you'll hear him speaking. Second thing, if you're taking notes today, weapons of mass distraction is competing voices. Competing voices. In other words, God could be shouting at you, yelling at you like, hey! But if there's 100,000 other things in your life shouting at you, like, it's going to be real hard to hear what he's saying. I remember the time I went to my very first Oklahoma football game, Boomer Sooner, and we're there, and in the stadium, there's 82,000 and so people in the stadium. That is a lot of people, y'all. And when the Sooners score a touchdown and everyone is yelling, Boomer Sooner, my wife is sitting next to me trying to say something to me like, I can't hear what she's saying. Because 82,000 people were shouting Boomer Sooner. But if it's just me and her in the same stadium, like she could whisper and I could hear what she was saying. Like competing voices. Like we've got to, if we want to turn up the volume on God and hear him more clearly, we have to turn down the volume of the world. Because there's always going to be those voices, but it's just what we're going to choose to focus on. And Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 14 about people who made excuses to listen to competing voices, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I just bought a field. I have to go and see it. Please excuse me. Another one said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another one said, I just got married. I definitely cannot come. That guy, man, he had a real excuse right there. He could not come. But the point is that there's always a reason why. There's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be something else trying to get our attention. There's always going to be something else. And sometimes we just need to eliminate things. So there's some things in your life that you need to just eliminate. If you're here and you're saying, yeah, man, that's me. I want to hear God more clearly. Well, then God's going to speak to you and you're going to have to take that step and eliminate. Some things, maybe they can't be eliminated, but they just need to be contained, to be restricted, right? I know in my life, that's one of these things. Anybody else that yours is surgically attached to your hand? No? Okay. Well, I'll tell you my story anyways. Because the truth is, like, there's a study that was out and children in our country, ages 8 to 18, the average amount of time that they spend on these devices is 7.5 hours a day. Y'all, that's 53 hours a week, 53 hours a week. And then we come to church for 60 minutes and then we wonder, why, God, why am I not hearing you speaking? And, you know, like, man, like some things need to be restricted. And that's okay. That doesn't make you a bad parent. That makes you a good parent. Some things need to be restricted. And my daughter, Bella, she's going to be 12 this week. And does anybody else like Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A? Come on, some Christian chicken, right? Get some chicken that praises Jesus and then hops in the fryer. Praise the Lord. I love it. Chick-fil-A. And get some dipping sauce. And you can't go there today, so I'm sorry for making you hungry. You can go there tomorrow. But they have this thing there that my daughter really likes that I do not like. And it's called the phone coop. Does anybody else know about the phone? Okay, good. I'm going to tell you about the phone coop today. So the phone coop is this little paper box. And you put all the family says, I'm going to put my phone in this little box. Everybody. And we close it and we put it in the center of the table. No one can touch their phone until the end of the meal. And then you get an ice cream at the end of the meal. Praise the Lord. It's good, right? It's good. My daughter loves to do this. I do not love to do this because my phone is in the coop, in this little box, going like the whole time. And the whole time I'm thinking, somebody's getting a hold of me. I need to text them back. It's very important. I need to, like, write to anybody else, or is it just me? It's just me. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm preaching to myself, and that's all right. I'm preaching good, so I like it. So my phone's in there, but sometimes, like, it's important to remember, like, what's going on here is not that important. Like, and it's Don't get me wrong. It's not that it's bad to have these. I'm thankful for this device. It helps me. But there's moments where it needs to be restricted, because when I'm sitting at that table, and there's other times when this is better. To sit with my daughter and eat a chicken sandwich is better. And that's how God feels like with all these voices that we've got going on. Like, not that all of them are necessarily have to be bad or are bad, but they just need to be restricted because this time is better. And I need more of this time than I need time with the device or with whatever else it is. Like, we've got competing voices. If we want to hear the voice of God more, we've got to cut out some competing voices. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 are some of my favorite passages of scripture. Hebrews chapter 12 says this: since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. Let me say this: whatever you feed will grow, and whatever you starve will die. That's good. I'm going to tell this side now. This side, I heard a couple. Whatever you feed will grow, and whatever you starve dies. So if you're needing the voice of God more in your life, like, feed that and starve those other things. Like, if there's something that you're struggling with in your life, some addiction or you seem thing you can't seem to get rid of, like, starve that thing and feed the presence of God in your life, and that thing will die. Third thing, if you're taking notes today, weapons of mass distraction is an unprepared heart. An unprepared heart. Now, let me tell you what I mean by this, because it's a very important part of the process. And this is the part that is really, like, it's so crucial, because it's so much of what we decide. Because if we don't prepare a space for him, like, it's going to be real hard for him to be in there, right? Like, if we're full of everything else, like, we have got to prepare our hearts for God. We've got to make room. We've got to prepare the environment. What would it be like if you took an extra 5 minutes, 10 minutes before church, before you went to work, and you just cleared yourself and said, God, I'm just going to take this time and clear myself before you. I'm not going to worry about anything else. It's just you and me, Jesus, so I can be ready to hear what you're going to say to me. Like, just prepare the space for him. Make room for him. The parable of the sower, Jesus told this parable in Matthew 13, and he describes it as a guy sowing seed on the ground, and it goes in all different parts of the ground. But he says this as he's explaining it to his disciples. He says, when anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. And like, if I took some seeds, if I bought the very finest seeds that money could buy and I just threw them across the stage, like, you would come back next week and all those seeds would still be there and they wouldn't be growing. They would be the same, because really the condition of the stage is too hard for the seeds to grow in. Right? And that's what he's saying, is that the ground is our heart and the seed is his word, what he's speaking to us. And if our heart is too hardened, if we haven't prepared our hearts for him, like, the enemy is just going to come along. It's not ready. It's not going to be able to produce what in us, what he wants to produce. Like, we have to make room for God's word in our life. We have to prepare that spot. 2 Corinthians 7 says, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles and distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives to be fit and holy temples for the worship of God. So we have to be careful not to tune him out with these things. We have to be careful to prepare this place for him. And there's a story in the Old Testament that I want to read today, because it really kind of shows those two sides. It shows a guy who walked with God but really began to tune him out over his life. And then it shows a young boy who's really just learning to hear the voice of God and how he positioned himself to hear God more clearly. So I want to read through the story of Samuel. You can find it in 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the first 11 verses. It says this. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, I love this place where Samuel is. And I highlighted these three phrases on there, and we're going to come back to it. The lamp of God had not gone out. He was there by the ark. and he was in the house of the Lord. And it was when he positioned himself here, then God spoke to him. And God called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he got up and ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." And Eli's like, wiping the sand out of his eyes, right? And he's like, "Why are you waking me up, son? Like, go back to bed. I did not call you." So Samuel went back and laid down. And the Lord called Samuel again, and he said, Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." He's like, Eli's like, "Don't wake me up again. I did not call you, boy. Go back to bed." So Samuel went back and he laid down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word had not yet been revealed to him. So he was hearing God. He just didn't know what to do with it, right? A third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, ran to Eli. He said, "Here I am, you called me." Now, finally, Eli's remembering, right? His spiritual senses are dulled. And now he's like, "Oh, wait. Maybe this is God talking to this boy." And so he says to Samuel, he says, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say this." And really, this is, if you leave with nothing else today, then with this simple prayer that he says, like, man, remember this. He says, say this: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling to him at other times and said, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." Amazing thing about this story is when Samuel prayed this prayer, "Lord, speak, I'm listening." What happened? It says that then God spoke to him. It wasn't like he got a decoder ring out of a cereal box and then he tried to transcribe some. Like, no, God spoke to him. God will speak to you when we pray too. When you pray, God hears you. So, man, this is the prayer. Like, this is the cry of our heart in this, like, hearing God speaking more. Like, "Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening." So when we posture ourselves this way, and this is our heart's cry, like, God will begin to speak to us. And so I want to highlight three things from these stories that as we begin to pray this way that will help us in hearing God's voice more. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down as we're, God is speaking and he will speak. Number one, as we read his, read his word. As we read his word. The Bible is not just like a historical set of stories. It's not a bunch of poems that are just there to be nice. It's not just a book of spiritual principles. The Bible is alive. It says it is the living word of God. It says that all scripture is inspired and breathed by the Spirit of God and is given to us to teach us, to correct us, to guide us. It's for us. God's word is alive. And as you begin to read it, like, the words will leap off the page and come alive to you. I know, like, it's not happening for me, Pastor. I've read it and it's like not happening. Like, keep reading it. Like, make this your prayer. God, speak to me. Your servant is listening. And I open up the book and keep reading it. And as you do that, he will begin to speak to you. And you'll be reading. And that one verse will be like, whoa. You know, that one verse will just be like, where did that come from? And when that happens, like, stop there. Because that's God speaking to you. He's highlighting this to you in his spirit because he wants to speak something to you. So read it again. And then read it again. And then as you're working and driving to work, think about it. Think about that scripture and begin to read it again when you get to work. Don't read in your car because that's dangerous. But make room for the word of God in your life. What would it look like is if you took these next 4 months as we move out of summer and we have Labor Day and we move into this new season of the year? What would it look like if you took the remaining months of the year and just said, God, I'm just going to read the Bible every day. I'm just gonna make time in my schedule to read the word every day. And it doesn't have to be like 6 hours a day. Like, just read a verse. Maybe you have time, read a chapter. Make room for the word of God in your life. You'll never have time for God until you make time for him. You just got to put them on your calendar. Get out your iPhone and pull up the calendar app and just schedule 7 to 7:10 is God time. Or whatever that time is for you, put them on your calendar. Make time for it. And as you do, like, you'll begin to hear him speaking to you. God speaks through his word. And it says that Samuel was laying by the lamp. And you're like, I don't want to lay by a lamp. I have a nice bed. Like, I want to remind you what Psalms 119 says, that your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We could say it like this. We could say, Lord, your word is like the flashlight app on my phone and it lights up my path, right? The lamp, the word of God. We need to make room for it in our lives. The second thing, if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down, is God is speaking and he will speak as we cultivate his presence. As we cultivate his presence. It says that Samuel was by the ark. The ark was that box that the Israelites had that they carried around. It was their golden box. And on the top of it was a lid. And there was these two cherubims that had their head bowed and their wings touched in the middle behind them. And that middle part was called the mercy seat. And that's where God's presence was. And the priest had to come in for the people. The people couldn't come into the presence of God on their own. But that's not us anymore. Jesus has come to the earth and he's died and he's made a way for us to boldly approach God's throne. Like, we don't have to come and be by this box to be in God's presence. Like, God's presence is with us. So then how do we, like, enter into God's presence, right? And I know that's like a super churchy phrase to say, like, let's enter into God's presence. But like, how do I do that? Like, how do we enter God's presence? A great way for us to just like usher in God's presence is with worship. It's worship. Like, wherever you are, like, it doesn't matter what anybody else is going on. Doesn't matter anything else. Just worship. Like, if you are looking for God, just worship and he will find you. Like, he is so attracted to this passionate worship of somebody who's just like, God, speak to me. I'm going to worship you. You're good. You are good. Oh, like, just worship him. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if your voice is going to make it on American Idol or if it's like not, like, he's not looking for a singer. He's looking for hearts. Scripture says that the eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are towards him. This is what God is looking for. So those that have to be worshiped. And sometimes you have to just go and be alone and just like get alone and worship. I know for me, when points in my life, I've designated my car as this place where I'm going to go and I'm going to have the ugly cry and I'm going to worship God in these moments. You guys know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes you just need to be in his presence. So when you need that, just worship him. Just worship him. Like, nothing else matters. I think about King Saul. He was tormented. It said he was tormented by evil spirits. Can't imagine spirits of rage and depression and all the same spirits that people have in our world today are the same spirits they dealt with. There's not new devils now in the 21st century. It's the same devil that it was then. But what happened when David came in and began to play the harp and sing praises to God? Man, those evil spirits had to leave. They can't stand it. When you need the voice of God in your life, like, worship him. Third thing, if you're taking notes today, write this down. The third thing we need to do is we need to be planted in the church. We need to be planted in the church. I know some of you instantly jump to like, well, now he's going to tell me not to miss a service. No. I'm not going to tell you that. Like, yes, we should all be together. And yeah, man, I want to be in the house every time the doors are open. But God's not, he doesn't want just you to follow rules, right? It says he's looking for hearts. Like, God's not looking for you to check something off your box. I did this today, God, I'm good, right? No, God is looking for people whose hearts are towards him, who love him. And when you love him, like, you'll do the things he asks because you love him. Like, I'm married to Heather, and like, it's not a problem for me not to like, think about other women because I love Heather. I want to be with her. Like, all that other stuff, it doesn't matter anymore because I love her. Like, she doesn't have to tell me, like, you know, well, don't look at other people now because, like, I don't want it. Like, I'm married to her and I do it gladly because I love her. And it's the same with God. That's why he's looking for hearts, because he doesn't want us just to be robot followers. Like, he wants people who love him, and then we do whatever he asks us to do because we love him. You guys, he wants us to be planted in the house. What would it look like if just over these next 4 months you said, God, I want to hear you speaking to me. I want to hear you speaking to me. So I'm going to dive into your house. I'm going to make what's important to you important to me. Yeah. See, we have a lot of things in our lives that we make important, but what's really important to God, sometimes we have to readjust our lives to make those things. People are important to God. Reaching those who don't know him are important to God, amen. Right? We got to make our priorities his priorities, right? So what would it look like if you just dive all in, just be part of whatever you can. If you're not in a group, like, I'm just going to get in a group. I haven't been through Nexus. I'm just going to go through Nexus. I'm going to serve somebody. I'm going to get on that dream team. And he's going to call my name out from the stage one day. Like, I'm just going to be all I can be in your house, God. And I'm just going to listen to you. Speak to me. Speak to me, God. I'm listening. I'm planted in your house. Let me read this to you from scripture, from Psalms 92, verse 11. It says, my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of the wicked foes. And that's a praise him scripture right there. Yes. But it goes on and it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And here's the continuation of that thought. That's what the semicolon tells us. Here's the rest of the thought. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of their God. Band, you guys can start coming on up. So what am I saying to you this morning? If you want to hear God speaking more clearly, like, get into his word. Like, spend time in his presence. Just worship him. Like, be planted in his house and just spend time with him. And you're like, what do I say to him? Whatever's on your heart. Pastor, I'm mad right now. Tell him. I feel sad right now. Tell him. He wants to know about it. He wants to have a relationship with you. And the more that we do this, like, we spend time with him, we share with him, we tell him what we're going through, and we love him, and we worship him, and we adore him, like, he begins to speak, and as we begin to listen, and we hear him clearly, and he begins to move on our behalf. And so I just want to pray for you this morning. I just pray that this would be your prayer. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. So, Lord, I pray for every person that's here right now.